Lord Jesus, we love you very much.
Amen.
So I'm here standing here this morning to give you a short review of last night's message. So last night we started out by seeing that God made us for himself.
Amen.
Who are we made for?
God.
And whose image are we made in?
God.
What are we made to contain?
God.
I see 126th grade God bottles. Who are made to be filled with?
God.
Made to be filled with?
God.
And we were made, God loved us, and God had us so much on his heart that in his creation, he didn't just speak us into being like did everything else in creation. Do you know that light came from God when God said, "Let there be light"? There wasn't light in this universe until God said, "Let there be light." There weren't elephants on this earth until God said, "Let there be an elephant." But when it came to man, God didn't just say, "Let there be man." God formed man because man is what is on God's heart. So God took the dust of the ground and formed man into his image, into in his likeness, so that he could be filled with God. But we also saw last night that God has an enemy. And God's enemy knows that man is at the very center of God's plan. And since man is at the very center of God's plan, the enemy came in right away to frustrate God's plan. And he lied to man. And he told man, "You don't need God. If you eat this, you'll be wise." And man, because man has the choice, and God gave man the choice, man chose to take sin into his being. Now that glove that was made for the hand, something else got into that glove. That bottle that was shaped to be contained with God now has something else in it. And so when man realized that he had taken something else in, he hid. And we found out last night that there's different ways that we can hide, right? We can lie, we could run, we could cover things up. But there are ways that we can hide from God. And this weekend, we don't want to be hiding from God anymore. Can you say amen if you don't want to be hiding from God this weekend?
Amen.
Sixth graders, can you say amen if you don't want to be hiding from God this weekend?
Amen.
So what is it that God did to find man? Do you realize that God didn't come in with a big... He did not come in with a big stick, right? You notice, Brother Craig read the verse last night, Jehovah God was walking through the garden, and he called to the man, "Where are you?" This weekend, God is not a God of judgment. God does not want to judge you. God wants to find you. And the way that God will find you is if you seek for him. Last night, the verse that Brother Craig had us read at the very end, when you say, "Seek my face," to you my heart says, "Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek." So this weekend, our prayer as sixth graders to the Lord is, "Lord, I want to seek you. And Lord, I don't want to just seek you, I want to find you." The Lord is seeking you, and the Lord wants to find you. But it takes a response on our part. Do you remember that God gave you a free will? So this week, you have the choice. You have the choice to seek or not to seek. You have the choice to find or not to find. This weekend, I feel like in all of our hearts, we want to find the Lord.
Amen.
This weekend, if you would like to find the Lord and you are a sixth grader, say amen.
Amen.
This weekend, if you are a sixth grader and you would like to first seek the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
So how about we have all the sixth graders right now? Would you repeat after me? Lord, I want to seek you. Lord Jesus, this weekend I want to find you. So what is it going to take for us to seek and find the Lord? This morning in the message, I want everybody to have your pens ready. And I want you to have your notebook ready to take notes. And you're not just going to be listening with your mind. This morning, as the message is being spoken, you need to listen with your hearts. So we want to, again, open our whole heart to the Lord. That means we quiet ourselves, we calm ourselves in our being, and we open our entire being to the Lord. So your pencils are ready? Very good.
Okay, so now we should be on message 2, which is on page, is that page 9? So let's turn there. Where we will see this morning the greatest tragedy and the unique solution. Okay, write that down. Greatest tragedy and the unique solution. The greatest tragedy and the unique solution. Now, before we get to the tragedy, I'd like to tell you a little bit about God. And what you'll see here is that God is very much like you. Did you know this? Like Brother Craig mentioned, we're made in God's image, which means God made us just like him. So, for example, here, could you come here? If you want to know what God looks like, on the end, this is what God looks like. Isn't he handsome? Okay. But here's something very interesting about God, which is just like us, which is that God has desires. God has wants. And God has likes. Okay? As sixth graders, what do you like? What do you desire? Did somebody say what? Did you say Xbox or something like that? Huh? Oh, ice cream. Okay, very good. Yes, ice cream. Huh? Food. Okay, very good. Food. How about over here? What do you, as a sixth grader, what is your desire? What is your pleasure? Yes? Video games. Okay. You know, very, very interesting. Earlier this year, my son, he's 8. Some of you know him. His name is Daniel. He got a desire. He got a good pleasure. You know what that good pleasure was? It was to get Lego Star Wars. And to get a Wii. So he came and expressed that desire to me. Daddy, please, will you buy me a Wii? And all he could think about was Wii. At night, we would pray. He would still think, Wii. Dad, when can I get a Wii? In the morning, Dad, please, we. It was all we, all about we, and more we. And so I said, okay. We made a deal, right? If you get good grades, and you do your chores, and you at school they have this thing called, what do you get if you're really good at school? Agate. It's called agate. If you make agate, because he didn't make it the previous semester, then you'll get the Wii. So he formed a plan based on his desire that I'm going to get. Even on the way home from school, my wife would tell me, he began right away to do his homework. Could you imagine? On the way home from school, he would already take out his books. He'd be, it's only a 5-minute ride home, but still, he'd be. Because his desire was, I got to get the Wii. And so, lo and behold, last December, we got his report card, and his and he got, praise the Lord, straight A's. So his purpose to get the we was fulfilled. Okay. And you know what? God is just like this. God is just like this. Now, let me tell you a little bit about God. Before there was you and I, even before there was a heavens and an earth, do you realize God had a desire? And this was based on three things. Listen to this. This may surprise you. You can write this down. Number one, God was lonely. God was lonely. Even though he was God, he was lonely. You know why? Because there was no one else around. It was just God. Lonely. So you know what God wanted? God wanted a family. God wanted a family with many sons. Write this down. Do you have a pen? You have a pen here. Here's a pen. Here you can mark. So, you know, by the way, it's so good that there's so many families here. How many dads are here this weekend? It's so good, right? And how many moms are here? Oh, that's so precious. You know, as a mom and a dad, isn't it, you know, when I put my 6-year-old daughter to bed every night, her name is Carissa, you know what, we pray a little bit, and then before I can leave her bed, she always grabs me with a big bear hug, and she says, Daddy, please don't leave me. And sometimes she'll say, Daddy, don't leave, just stay with me all night. And I say, okay, I'll stay for 2 minutes, and so we lie there. And it's so sweet, right, to have a family. And you know what? This is what God wanted. He wanted a family. Now, let me tell you something very interesting about God. This may surprise you, but God was also single. Did you know this? God was a bachelor. That's right. God was a bachelor. And you know what that means? What did God want? He wanted a wife. He wanted a wife. He wanted to be married. This is not a small thing. Okay, now let me tell you something else about God. God was homeless. Do you realize this? God, one time he said, the heavens are my throne. I've got the entire heavens. I've got billions of galaxies, billions of stars. But I, the great God, have no home. So he was looking for a home. Could you imagine? He was single, he was homeless, and he was lonely. Could you imagine this? Oh, and let me tell you something else. Soon after that, Lucifer rebelled, so then he had an enemy. He had an enemy. So you know what God wanted then? He wanted a warrior. Because God never deals with his enemies directly. He wanted a warrior. You know, if you've been following the news, you may have heard that in America, we had an enemy. It's, you know what? And almost 10 years ago, this enemy crafted a plan to bring America to our knees. And he conspired with some people to hijack some planes and fly them into these two buildings, the World Trade Towers. You know this, right? You heard the story? And it may surprise you to know, listen to this, one of our own brothers was in those buildings, was in the building that day. And before the planes flew into that building, you know what that brother did? He called someone for morning revival. And then a few minutes later, his life was terminated by this person and his team. And then at that point, our president, he gave a speech. And it was very similar to what brother... He issued a challenge. You know what he said? He said, you can run, but you can't hide. We, the Americans, we're going to... You can hide in the hills of Afghanistan, You can hide in Iraq. We're going to find you. We're going to track you down. And justice will be served. And it took us 10 years, but we found him last week. And we sent in, did you hear about this, right? The Navy SEALs on a Black Hawk helicopter. But then the Black Hawk helicopter malfunctioned. Did you hear that? So they had to blow it up because we didn't want the enemy to get. But then there was no problem. There was another Black Hawk that flew in. And then the SEALs, they went in, right? You hear about this? The first floor, he wasn't there. The second floor, he wasn't there. And then the third floor, he was there. And they got him. They got him. Well, did you know when God created us, he wanted us, in a sense, to be his Navy SEALs? No joke. In the verse we read, he put man on the earth and he told man, basically, I want you to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the creeping things. In other words, what he was saying is, I want you on this earth to deal with my enemy. He was telling Satan, Satan, you're here. You've rebelled against me, but I've made someone who's lower than you. And this one is going to defeat you. This one is going to capture you. And so to fulfill God's desire, as we read last night, and as Brother Joseph just shared, he made us man. He made man. And all we had to do, this was genius, it was so simple, this was God's plan. All we had to do was to receive him as life, to choose him, to take him in. And once we took him in, we would be his family. Once we took him in, we would become his wife. Once we took him in, we would be his home. He could dwell in us. We could dwell in him. And once we took him in, listen, we would be his warrior to defeat God's enemy. It was so simple. It was genius. This was God's plan. So he put us in this lovely garden, and he gave himself to us as the tree of life. And all we had to do was to take him in. That's all. That was all that was required. But then what happened? What happened was the greatest tragedy. Okay, the greatest tragedy. Which was that rather than taking God in, number one, as we saw this, we disobeyed God. We disobeyed him. So we came under God's judgment. And number two, we took in something into our being. We were poisoned by the serpent. The life and the nature of Satan, the devil himself, was put into us. So that rather than expressing God, we became sinners who expressed Satan. Rather than representing God, we represent Satan. Rather than God dwelling in us, Satan, as the illegal master, dwells in us, in our flesh. Now let me draw you a simple diagram that you may have seen. Some of you have seen this. This is a picture of you, okay? You've seen this diagram before? This is what? Your body. Okay? Write this down on your paper. Then this, number two, is your soul. Your soul. Okay, now with your soul, there's three parts. There's something called your mind. There's something called your emotion. And there's something called your will. You see? So God made you with a body, a soul, and then inside your soul is your spirit. Your spirit. So the body was made, right, to express God. The soul was made with these three parts. With your mind, so you could know God, to know the things of God. With your emotion, that you would love God. And with your will, that you would, what? Choose God. See, God would never force himself upon us. He gave us the right to choose. And then with your spirit, you would contact God. You would contact God, right? Okay, but when man fell, Satan as sin injected himself into our body, and our body became the flesh. Our body became the flesh. Then our soul became contaminated. Contaminated. And our spirit became deaded. Dead. Can you see this? Our body became flesh, or you may say the flesh of sin. The flesh of sin. If you don't believe that you have sin or that Satan dwells in your flesh, the next time you get really angry at somebody, really, really angry. Do you ever get angry? Oh, even a serving one gets angry. You get angry, huh? Yeah. Even the serving one. The next time you get really, really angry, look in a mirror. Look in a mirror. And when you look in that mirror, whose face is there? Whose face is there? It's not your face. It's this. It's Satan. Really. Okay. So listen to this. Rather than becoming God's family, listen. Okay, brother, can you come here again? See, what I really appreciate about a sixth grader is you guys are all so cute and cuddly. You know, normally when I share, it's usually with the high schooler. I can't do this to the high schoolers. But you guys are so cute, you know? But listen, lurking beneath this cute face, right? Isn't he cute? See, I'm not cute anymore. See, I got gray hair, you know, okay. But listen, inside him, sorry to say, you know who this is? This is a child of the devil. Me too, not just him. And not just him, but you also. All of us, listen, we're not just God bottles. You know who we are? We're a brood of snakes. We're a brood of vipers. All of us have this disease called sin. Okay? We are all sinners. We are all sinners. And that's Roman numeral 1. Let's read that together. Now look at this verse here. It says, even as it is written, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. Is anyone in this room righteous? That means everything you do it right. This weekend, there's many dinner. Are you right with your dad? In the past 12 years of your life, let's consider this. See, here's a mom and daughter here, right? There's many moms and daughters here. Every time your mom says, clean your room, do you always say, yes, mom? Every time your mom says, take out the trash, boys, do you ever, yes, dad? I mean, yes, mom, right? Are you right? Or listen to this. Are you right with everyone in this room? Has any one of you made fun of someone, even in the last day? Are you right? There's 7 billion people on this earth. Not one of us is right. Is right. It says, not even one. You see, even Brother Steve is here. See, you know Brother Steve, those of you from Irvine? Brother Walter. Brother Walter, are you right with God and with everyone? You know, if Brother Walter isn't right, none of us are right. Really, you believe me. Listen, then it says, there is none, in this verse, it says, there is none who seeks out God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become useless. See, God created us to become useful to him, that we would be his family. But we became useless. There is none who does good. There is not so much as one. Now, all of you, let's read the next verse, Romans 3:23. You got it? Ready? Go.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
All have sinned. Maybe even today, you know, today is only a few hours old. How many have sinned? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. Probably many of you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God made us to express Him. But instead of expressing Him, we express something else. We've fallen short. Then in Proverbs, there's a challenge. Who can say? Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Who can say, I am pure? I'm pure from sin. We're all diseased. We all have this sinful nature in us. And all of us commit sins. Commit sins. Now look at this verse here in Proverbs 30. How about all the sixth graders? You read this verse. Proverbs 30, 11 through 12. Go. Okay, stop right here. Young people, we're raised in a generation of young people that curse their dad, that curse their mother. You know, one surefire way to shorten your life, you know, if you want to live long on the earth, there's one commandment with a promise. You know what that promise is? In Ephesians 6, it says, honor your father and mother that you may live long on the earth and that it may be well with you. That means if you disobey your mom and dad, particularly if you curse them, even in one moment of anger, you say, Mom, I hate you. Or Dad, I wish I had another dad. Don't laugh. I tell you, one curse like that can shorten your life. That's what that verse means. Because to honor your parents, you know, the parents you have, it's not bad luck. God custom designed your mom and dad just for you. And to honor your mom and dad is to honor God as your source. God created your mom and dad just for you. And when you curse them, you could be, listen young people, you could be shortening your life. Don't curse your mom and dad. Okay, then read the rest of the verse. Okay, then read. So, even though many of the young people in your generation, that means they know they commit all these sins. They steal things. They talk in a certain way. And they don't care. In their eyes, they're pure. They're pure. But in God's eyes, they're filthy. They're filthy. And the verse says, the next verse says, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Okay, now at this point, we would like to give you a pass-fail exam. Okay, a pass-fail exam. Now listen to this. See, when I was in school, I used to like pass-fail exams. You know why? Because it meant I could miss a lot of questions and still pass. But this pass-fail exam that God gives us, to pass, you have to get every question right. If you just miss one question, you fail. You fail. Okay? God says, if you just commit one sin, you have to pay a price. You have to pay a penalty. You have to pay some wages. Okay, so that quiz, that pass-fail exam is on page 12. I want everyone to turn to page 12. Hey, don't talk. Just turn to page 12. And we'd like you to go through this this exam. Now, at the top, even serving ones, you can take this exam too. You can circle whether you're a boy, girl, serving brother, serving sister, okay? Everyone, we want you to take this exam. Now, There's two answers to each question. You're either guilty or not guilty. Guilty or not. Now, just look at your own paper. You don't look at you don't need to look at your mom's or your dad's. Or you just look at yourself, okay? Wait, don't answer it yet. Wait, we're going to go through this one by one, okay? Just hold on. We really want to impress you with these matters, okay? So, now, number one. I love other things more than the Lord. I love other things more than the Lord. You know, the Christian religion is the only religion where it demands that we love the Lord. You know, Buddha, the Buddhist religion doesn't demand that you love Buddha. The Muslim religion doesn't demand that you love Allah. The Tao religion doesn't demand that you love Tao. Only God demands that you love Him. This is the first and greatest commandment, right? That you love Him more than anything else. Young people, let me ask you, do you love Him? Your answer is not so strong. Do you love Him?
Yes.
Sixth graders, do you love Him?
Yes.
Stand up and say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
But do you love Him more than anything else? Do you love Him more than your PS3? Do you love Him more? Listen, do you love Him more than your TV? Do you love Him more than Angry Birds? Some of you don't know what that is. That's okay, no problem. Do you love Him more than what? Yourself. You know, you can always tell what you love. Listen to this. You can always tell what you love by what you think about. A lot of you think about yourself. You know what that means? That means you love yourself. Us too. Okay, so write down guilty or not guilty. You just mark a check, okay? Guilty or not guilty. Number two. I have used the Lord's name wrongly. You know, when you go to school, okay, don't talk. You know, some of your friends, they say, oh, God, blanket, right? You know what I'm talking about? Or you hear this, oh, my God. They're not saying, oh, my God, I love you. They're saying, oh, my God. Do any of you ever talk like that? Oh my God, he's so annoying. Listen, this is the name of your Savior. We shouldn't talk about Him like that. But so many times, we use the Lord's name wrongly. We use the Lord's name wrongly. The Lord said, my name should be sanctified. You know, our friends should see that. When you're friends, they may talk like that. You shouldn't talk like that. But I'm afraid that some of you, with your friends, there's no difference. You talk just like them because you want to be cool. You want to fit in. So you talk like them. Oh, my God. Or worse, you curse God. You curse God. Okay, if you use the Lord's name wrongly, just mark guilty, not guilty. Okay, number three. We talked about this already a little bit. I have not honored my mother or father. You know, young people, your parents, they love you so much. They love you so much. That's why they're here with you this weekend. But sometimes, we don't honor them. You know, you may even obey them when they ask you to do something, but do you honor them? If you don't honor them, that's a sin. That's a sin. Okay, look at this. I talk back to my mother or father. Do you talk back to your mother? Do you ever get mad at them, slam the door in your room? You storm off to your room? Well, then you're guilty. You're guilty, right? Do you talk back to your mother or father? Number two, I wouldn't do what my mother or father asked me to do. Or worse, number three here, it says, I said something bad about my mother and father. Maybe you're at your school and your friends begin talking, oh my gosh, can you believe what my mom or dad did? Blah, blah, blah. And then you say, oh, that's nothing. Let me tell you what my mom or dad did. And you expose. Or worse, maybe your mom or dad, really, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they did. And then you tell someone else what they did wrong. Maybe you caught your dad doing something, or your mom. The worst thing you can do, young people, is to expose your dad. To expose your mom. But how many of us do that? We tell our friends, oh, my dad, he's such a nerd. He did this. Da, 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 da. Or you make fun of your dad. You know, when you do that, you're making fun of God. You're making fun of God. You want to bring a curse upon yourself? That's the best way to do it, right there. You know, in the Bible, there's a story called, you know, the story of Ham with Noah. He exposed. His dad got drunk. His dad got drunk. You know, some of you, maybe your mom or dad, they're not saved yet. Maybe they're struggling with some things humanly. Listen, don't expose them. Don't expose them. They may have gotten arrested for something. You don't need to expose them. Cover your father. Cover your mother. Okay? Okay, number five, to wish you had other parents. And to disobey your parents. So if you've done any of those things, you're guilty. You're guilty. Okay, number four, I was jealous of my brother or sister or my friend. I was jealous. You ever get jealous? Or worse, I wish I had other brothers or sisters. Or in other words, let me ask you this. Do you love your brother? Do you love your brother? Have you ever told your little sister or brother, I hate you? Then you're guilty. You're guilty, you see? See, I caught some of you. Okay. Number five. I got angry and lost my temper. Maybe today, some of you got angry. Your serving one got you up at 7:30. And, this is so early. I got to get up at 7:30. You ever get angry? Okay, then you're guilty. Okay, listen. Number six, I had a fight. You know, boys, sometimes the boys, they like to, right? You like to show that you're real macho. And that now that I'm a sixth grader, I've got a few muscles here. It's really not a muscle. It's kind of like a little bump, right? It's like a little, but I'm, you know, you like to. You know, the Bible says we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. But many times, some of us, we just fight. We just can't help it. We get in arguments. We argue with our parents. We argue with our friends. We just can't help it. But you choose. You choose. You like to fight. You know, some of you may know I'm an attorney. I'm a lawyer. And lawyers, we like to argue a little bit. Sometimes my wife, she'll say, honey, stop being a lawyer. Just be quiet. You know, that's a sin, to argue. To argue. Okay? Either verbally or physically. Okay, number seven. I stole something from someone. You know, maybe you were at 7-Eleven with some friends, and on your way out, you noticed that the person behind the counter wasn't looking, so you just kind of, you grab it, right? You just take it, stuff it in your pocket. You ever steal something? Or maybe your mom and dad, you know where they keep some money. And sometime when they use the bathroom, you pull something. That you may say, that's not stealing. We're a family. We all share. No, that's stealing. You need to ask your mom or dad before you dip into the cookie jar, right? That's stealing. You should ask. We should ask. You know, I was reminded, actually, You know, this week at work, I accidentally took a pen from work that wasn't mine. You know, I'm guilty too. I accidentally took it. I stole. You see? Okay, how about number eight? Number eight. I borrowed something from someone. Sometimes as young people, we do this, right? Oh, can I borrow your what? Your bracelet. Can I borrow your bracelet? And then we keep it. We forget about it. We don't return it. You ever do this? You're guilty. You're guilty. Okay. Okay, number nine. How about this? I found something which belonged to someone else, and I kept it. Maybe you were walking down the street. You saw a $10 bill. You ever find a $10 bill? And you said, and your friend said, the law is finders keepers, right? Listen, I can tell you, that's not the law. That's not the law. The law is not finders keepers. That's someone else's money that they lost. You know, 11 months ago, my family, my wife's cousin raises German shepherds. So she gave us a little German shepherd puppy, which we named Coco. She was just this cute little fur ball, you know, all black and brown and real furry. And we brought her home. She was so cute. And she's still a puppy today, except now she weighs 60 pounds. But we love her. Her name is Coco. If you ever come to my house, I'll introduce you to Coco. But one day I took her out on a walk. I took her out on a walk around the neighborhood. And when we came back, I forgot to lock the gate. She was only 8 months old, so as puppies, she took off. And I lost her. And then I went to work. I didn't know. And then at 2 o'clock, 6 hours later, my wife realized, oh no, where's Coco? We lost her. She cried to me. She was almost, you know, we lost her. Now, if one of you had found Coco, could you say, finders keepers? Sorry, James, you lost her. No, Coco belongs to us, right? But sometimes, if you find something, that's not yours. But you kept it. You kept it. That's stealing. That's stealing. Oh, yes. Fortunately, one of our neighbors called the dog pound, and they caught Coco and returned her to her. So we found her. Okay. Okay, how about number 10? I cheated on a test. You know, you guys are smart enough. You shouldn't need to cheat. Right? You know, church kids are very smart. Let me tell you a story. Listen to this. You know, when I went to the University of Washington, I went to college at the school with 40,000 students. And 2 years in a row, the number one student at that university was from the church in Seattle. Of course, the year I was a senior, we broke that streak. But it's amazing. Out of 40,000 students, the number one student was from the church. You guys are really smart. You don't need to cheat. But I'm afraid some of you get a little lazy on a test, you know, you cheat. You cheat. If you've ever cheated even one time, you're guilty, right? I cheated on a test. Okay, number 11. I lied to someone about something. Brother Craig gave us some examples of lying, right? Do you ever lie? Or how about you exaggerate? You exaggerate. To get your little brother in trouble. You exaggerate. That's lying. That's lying. If you even exaggerate, that's what we call misrepresentation. You misrepresent what happened to get someone in trouble. Then you're guilty. Okay, number 12. I wished I had something that someone else had. That's to covet. Okay, so anyone pass this test? Anyone? You answered not guilty? If you did, then you're guilty too. Right. You're lying, right? Okay. Okay, you don't need to look at your paper. I mean, your neighbor's paper. But basically, if you were honest, you would realize I'm guilty of nearly everything on this paper. I'm guilty, okay. And if you're guilty, in God's eyes, you have violated God's righteousness. You have violated God's holiness. And God, on one hand, wants to be your Father who loves you. God loves you. But on the other hand, as the righteous judge, God demands a payment. Someone has to pay a price. Someone has to pay a penalty for your violation, for your guilt, and for your wrongdoing. Someone has to pay. You know who has to pay? You do. You're responsible for your actions. You can't say, the devil made me do it. You, with your own free will, not just you, me too, we all violated God's law. And as violators, we are liable for a penalty. Okay, and that's Roman numeral 2. Flip back to message 2. And let's read the title together. Okay, Roman numeral 2. All sinners will be judged by God. All the sisters, read all the girls, read Romans 6, 23. So God likens your sins to wages, That means you have to pay a penalty, a penalty for your sin. And that penalty, listen, that penalty is the death penalty. That penalty is death. If you are a sinner, if you are a violator, the price that you need to pay is death, Ezekiel 18:4, read that. Boys, read that.
The soul who sins, he shall.
And this is why it's such a great tragedy. God made us for his family, to be his bride, to defeat God's enemy. But now we're the ones who have to die. We're the ones who have to suffer. We're the ones. Girls, stop talking. We're the ones who have to pay a price. Because of our sin. Look at Revelation 21:8. Read it together. God prepared the lake of fire for Satan, for the devil. But now, because we joined him, because he became one with us, and we became one with him, and we sinned, our destiny is to burn in this lake of fire. The judgment of God is upon us. So in point A, let's read that together. Those who have not believed will be judged and will suffer eternal punishment. Though, okay, and B. Okay, so now you can see it's not such, this is the tragedy. All of us, because of our sin, we are liable to the lake of fire. You realize this? It's not a small thing. And the same thing with your friends at school. No matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how smart you are, if you've committed one sin in the eyes of God, your destiny is the lake of fire. Your destiny is the judgment. Your destiny is not just to physically die in this age, but it's to go to the lake of fire. But praise the Lord, that's not the end of the message. Amen? Okay, now, we come to Roman numeral 3, where we see the unique solution. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together.
Jesus put all our sins on himself to the cross.
Okay, now I'd like to draw you a quick diagram here. A quick diagram. Maybe you could try to draw this also. And this is what happened. After man fell, this is a really good diagram. I hope you would write this down. God, who was in the heavens, you see, no one had ever seen God. God hides himself. Not only we like to hide, God likes to hide. God dwelt in unapproachable light, and God was there in the heavens. But after seeing man fall to such an extent, the Bible tells us that God emptied himself, and God himself became a man. God became a man. The man, Jesus Christ. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man. This man loved us so much that he left his throne. He left the heavens. He left everything to come to the earth. No one had seen him. The unseeable God became seeable. The untouchable God became touchable. The unreachable God came to reach you. He became a man. And when he lived on the earth, you know what it says many times? It says, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. You know, when this recent tragedy happened with Japan, you all know about this, right? Japan, an earthquake hit and a tsunami came. You know, one of our brothers was there in that city. He was teaching at a school, and judgment came. The tsunami, without warning, swept through their entire school. And they brought all the kids, your age or just a little bit less, into the gym. And the water began to. And this young brother, he was teaching. He tried to rescue as many kids as he could. But he was being swept away. You know, this was on CBS. I don't know if you saw this. Even his leg touched the top of the 10-foot basketball pole. That's how high the water was in the gym. And all these kids were in the gym. And he grabbed as many as he could and took them up to this high level. But only a few got saved. I tell you, in watching that, I was moved with compassion. All these dear young kids there, they lost their lives. Many of them without God. Many of them without God. But God came. And he was moved with compassion. You know, for who? For you. For you. Because he realized, these ones that I loved, they were poisoned. And they had no hope. They were dead in their sins. And without a Savior, they would suffer the same fate as the devil. So it says, he was moved with compassion. Like the song we sang, right? His love. Caused him to come to the earth. For you and for me. And then, just before he was crucified, listen to this. They put him on trial. There were some lawyers there. There are some Pharisees there. They tried to trick him with all these questions. For 3 days, they examined him. He was the Lamb of God being led to the slaughter. The judge became judged. The one who should not have suffered offered himself to suffer for you. The Bible says, he loved me and gave himself up for me. He was the one that had a right to condemn us. But the condemner became the condemned. He switched places with you. And the one who was on the judge there, his name was a corrupt person named Pontius Pilate. Even he had to declare 3 times, I find no fault with this man. This man does not deserve to die. This man should be set free. In other words, this man passed the test. They couldn't find one thing wrong with him for 33 and a half years. Even people tried to make things up so that he would be put to death. And people realized, no, that's not true. He's not guilty. He should not be put to death. But everyone who was there prevailed upon Pontius Pilate. They said, crucify him! Crucify him! And this corrupt Roman politician gave in. He said, okay, let's put him to death. And then for the first 3 hours, you know what they did to him? They blindfolded him. And people came up to him and they beat him with a clenched fist. And even they would mock him. They would say, prophesy, Christ. Who is it that hit you? And they would beat him. They would beat him mercilessly. And then they put a crown of thorns on him. You know, you ever run into a rose bush? You know those thorns? They're very painful. They put a crown of thorns on him. And they hit the throne, the thorns. And then with his hands, you know what they did, right? They nailed right through the wrist a cruel Roman crucifixion so that his body would feel the full weight of the pain. Right through. Could you imagine? Not just once, right here, but right here. And where else? On his feet. And then they scourged him. You know what a scourge is? They would take this leather, it's like a leather belt that had these spikes on it. And they would whip him in the back so that it would dig into his flesh, and then they would pull it. So he would feel the pain. He would feel the pain. All at the same time, thorns beat with the fist. They would spit him. They spit on him. They would whip him with these spikes. And he was nailed. For 3 hours, this man suffered this kind of treatment at the hands of these cruel Romans and these cruel religionists. But that was not all. That was not all. The worst was yet to come. The next 3 hours, do you realize this? It says, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, every sin you commit, it offends God. It causes a certain kind of wrath, the wrath of God. You know, I was doing some math this morning. There's about 250 people here. In one day, if we each commit about 10 sins, that means in one day we commit about 2,500 sins. That stores up the wrath of God. And over the course of 1 year, that equates to about 1 million sins. 1 million sins are committed by the people in this room. Now you multiply 1 million sins by 7 billion people who live on this earth, plus 1 billion people who have already died, plus 80 years is the average lifespan. You multiply 80 by 7 billion, by 1 million. How many sins is that? That's almost infinity. That's a lot of wrath. The wrath of God. Just one sin, God is angry. That commits. And all those sins, all the sins, past, present, and future, were laid upon this one single man. He had to bear the price of our sins. Of our sins. Think about that. We should have been there bearing the price for our sins. But he took our place. And during those 3 hours, the judgment of God was upon him. So that he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God's judgment was upon this man. And listen, young people, as he was going through that, it said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross,
He endured the cross
for you.
That means, why was he going through all that? Because there was a joy. There was a joy there. You know who that joy was? That joy was you. So that you could live. So that we could live. So that we could receive God's life. And so that all our sins could be taken away. Could be taken away. Okay. Let's read point A. Point A. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, this is when he came to the earth. John saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away." That means he came to the earth to take away all of these sins. And then in point B, it says, he bore all our sins. They were laid upon him in his body on the cross when he suffered and died for us. So how many wounds did he have? You know, we have a hymn that says 5 bleeding wounds he bears. But if you think about what I described, how many wounds did he have? How many wounds do you think those thorns put on his head? How many wounds do you think those fists gave him? What about being scourged? Was it 5 bleeding wounds? You know, we sang the song, right? About the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's referring to him on the cross. A lot of blood was pouring out of him. And that blood was the spotless blood of a lamb who had never sinned. And that blood was the price that had to be paid for our sins. For our sins. Okay, so that's C. It says he shed his precious blood to take away our sins. This is what was happening. This is precious blood to take away our sins. Okay, now through D, in D, through Christ's redemption, we are forgiven and cleansed by God. Because the judge became the judged. Because the condemner became the condemned. Because the one who should not have suffered, suffered on our behalf. Our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be cleansed. Our sins can be washed away. So that there's no record anymore of your sins. You know, one time I represented someone who was accused of a crime. He was accused of a crime. And you should have seen the look on his face when the judge said, you're not guilty. He was in jail, accused of a crime he didn't commit. You know, the Lord Jesus was accused of crimes he didn't commit. This man, also, I represent him. But one day, praise the Lord, he was set free. Not guilty. You know, if you believe, if you receive what God has done for you on the cross, all your sins are wiped away. And you can receive the life of God. You know why? Because after 3 days, after his crucifixion, he was resurrected. And he became the life-giving spirit. And now, as the life-giving spirit, this God who redeemed you, this God who died for your sins, remember this diagram? It was corrupted, it was polluted, it was deadened. Now, this one, as the life-giving spirit, can come and dwell inside of you. You who were dead in sins can be alive to God. We who were usurped by God's enemy can now once again become God's family, God's bride, God's house, and God's warrior. Now, how does this happen? Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 4. In Roman numeral 4, we all need to do 4 things. Number one, let's read point A together. We must... Young people, when you're found guilty of something, don't lie about it. Just admit. this morning, if you realize, I am a sinner, I need God, just admit, I'm a sinner. Turn away from your sins. Don't cover your sins. He who covers his sins shall not prosper. But whoever confesses your sins and forsakes them shall have mercy. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm guilty. I committed those sins. I admit it. I'm guilty. Okay, then number two, believe. To believe is to receive. To believe is to accept all that God has prepared, all that God has done for you. You just believe. You say, Lord, I believe. God so loved the world. Okay, let's read that verse, verse 16 together. We believe Jesus is the Savior from sin. Now read John 3:16. Okay, right there. You believe into him. You won't perish, but you'll receive another life. You'll have eternal life. Number three, we need to confess our sins. Some of you, maybe you were already saved, but still, you're still sinning. There's still some sins. You need to confess. Even this morning, you need to confess your sins to the Lord. The Bible says, if we confess, he forgives. God is here. He's waiting to forgive you of your sins. And D, what's the last point? Let's read it together. To call upon his name. Don't curse his name. Love his name. Amen. Call upon his name. His name is so sweet, so precious. The name of Jesus. How about we say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Okay, so admit, believe, confess, and call. Okay. Now, at this point, we'd like to give an opportunity for some of you who would like to be saved from your sins, who would like to become part of God's family. You're tired of being part of the devil's family. You want to be in God's family. You want to be part of the bride of Christ. You want to be God's home. And you want to be fully freed, fully cleansed of all your sins. We'd like everyone right now to bow your head and to close your eyes. If you would like, close your eyes. If you would like to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we would like you to stand up. We'd like you to stand up. Right now, you just stand up, okay? You just stand up. If you realize, I'm guilty. I need a Savior. And I want to be part of God's family. I'm not part of this world. I belong to the Lord. And you would like to receive him. Or maybe you've received him already, but there's some sins you'd like to deal with. You would like to confess. You also can stand up. Okay, now what we'd like to do is we would like your serving one to go with you to step outside the door. Okay, now if you're sitting with a few of you, we want you to go with your serving one at a time. Okay, so your serving ones now should know what to do. Serving ones, you just take one. We'd like to have a time to pray with you, to help you to receive the Lord and or to confess your sins. Okay, so go with your serving one.